Hey friends, welcome back to the Journal Feed. My name is Nick Zelt, and this is the only place to get spoon-fed the latest and greatest of emergency medicine. If you are hearing this right now, then you are not currently a Journal Feed subscriber, and so you will not be receiving the full Journal Feed podcast, only receiving a portion of the past week's articles. Don't worry, all good articles. But if you would like to get full access to both the podcast and the blog, then you'll have to become a member. All the details for that are at journalfeed.org. And remember, we never want money to be a barrier to better patient care. So if you're having any trouble affording a subscription, just get in touch. We'll help you out. I'd like to bring attention to a big collaboration that we've recently done with Amal Mattu of Emergency Cardiology fame, bringing together some expert-guided literature updates. Members can check out these perks on the website. Non-members, well, you can consider joining. All right, now this is the audio version of the past week's summaries, which this week were brought to you by Chris Thome, Nicholas Sreika, Aaron Lacey, Clark Strunk, Charles Worth, Ketan Patel, and of course, Clay Smith. All right, let's get straight into the fourth article. Titled, Extracorporeal Cardiopulmonary Resuscitation versus Conventional CPR in Cardiac Arrest, an Updated Meta-Analysis and Trial Sequential Analysis, out of the journal Critical Care. All right, we just had an article recently, which was a meta-analysis of RCTs on eCPR for out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, OCA. It had some problems, but overall it was negative. What you have to consider, though, is that that's not the only data that we have on eCPR. Indeed, people have done more than just RCTs, though if the RCTs are negative, then my enthusiasm is a little bit low. But we also have propensity matching studies, which are often pretty good. And then there's also in-hospital cardiac arrest data, which we haven't even talked about. These authors updated their previous meta-analysis from 2023, looking at eCPR compared with conventional CPR. They were able to include 13 studies for a total of 14,000 patients, which is way, way more than the meta-analysis that we had on just eCPR for out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, which only had 400 patients. Now, this meta-analysis was positive. Quite obviously positive, actually. It showed that in-hospital cardiac arrest eCPR was superior to normal CPR, an odds ratio of in-hospital mortality of 0.63, which is dang good. Which is amazing, actually. And for out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, it showed an odds ratio of 0.62, which, I'll repeat again, was not significantly different in the last meta-analysis we looked at. This just makes it even less clear if eCPR is all that we want it to be. Overall, though, you don't usually have to make the decision. You can just call your ECMO people and let them know about the case and let them make the decision. Unless you're the one who cannulates. In which case, well, yeah, it's up to you. In a spoonful, this updated meta-analysis redemonstrated a benefit for eCPR in reducing overall in-hospital cardiac arrest mortality and improved neurological outcomes after cardiac arrest, but it newly demonstrated a significant reduction in out-of-hospital cardiac arrest with eCPR. And then the fifth and final article, titled Ketamine versus Etomidate as an Induction Agent for Tracheal Intubation in Critically Ill Adults, a Bayesian Meta-Analysis, out of the journal Critical Care. Remember that meta-analysis from not that long ago that compared etomidate to ketamine? And it was kind of a drastic turn of events for ketamine versus etomidate literature in that it found an increased mortality with the use of etomidate. I know I was as surprised as anyone. Well, guidelines still recommend several RSI medications, which include propofol, ketamine, and etomidate. There is an argument to be made for each in the correct clinical circumstances, but if we want to just take things in aggregate, then what are the odds that ketamine is truly safer than the other options? These authors found 7 RCTs and 1 propensity matching study to try to get to the bottom of that question. Sadly, they had no studies that included propofol, so it's just ketamine versus etomidate for the outcome of all-cause mortality. They considered any absolute difference over 1% to be clinically significant. All right, now Bayesian analysis applied to 3,000 patients found that the probability that ketamine reduces mortality compared to etomidate was 83% overall, The probability that ketamine was better by a significant amount, again 1%, was 62%. That's nothing to scoff at. Ketamine is probably, but not definitely, better. All secondary outcomes were negative, so I'm not going to dwell on them too much. Now, why is ketamine better? That's just not very clear. Is it the whole adrenal insufficiency thing? I don't know. I don't personally have a better explanation unless there's some kind of systemic bias against etomidate, but since these were RCTs, I would hope not. If it is adrenal insufficiency, then depending on what you're doing RSI for, as long as it's not necessarily, you know, a patient in severe sepsis or something like that, then it might not matter. This was from fairly high quality data too, so I'm not sure that we're going to get a better answer, except for with more studies, but perhaps we have better things to study. I'd recommend that we might just. I think that I'm going to be continuing to favor ketamine in the foreseeable future. I already didn't use etomidate very much, and now probably, essentially none at all. In a spoonful, a Bayesian meta-analysis found an 83% probability that ketamine lowers mortality compared to etomidate in critically ill patients undergoing intubation. Okay, that's it. That's all we've got from today. What did we learn? Let's do a quick review. From the fourth article, when we consider more than just RCTs, then ECPR starts to look pretty sweet, actually. And then from the fifth article, an 83% chance that etomidate is worse than ketamine on an outcome of mortality? That's chance enough for me. Sorry, etomidate. Again, if you were hearing this, then you are not a part of the members feed, and so you missed three articles from this week. Here's a teaser of what you missed. One was about what's the best way to develop a pretest probability for aortic syndromes. Another was a summary of recent aortic disease guidelines. And lastly, how good are people at intubating in the PICU compared with advanced practice registered nurses? All the articles summarized can be found at journalfeed.org, where the newsletter is probably the best way to make the podcast into a bite-sized nugget of space repetition. Our goal here is for you to read less, learn more, and save lives, one spoonful at a time. Thank you.